But we're going to be in the book of Romans, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, ask for your power, your grace, your word to reside in me. Lord, please just use me like you want to. Let me be free of encumbrances, free of distractions, free of frustrations, free of anything contrary to your Holy Spirit, so that I may bring a word for your people at this time and this moment. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And to take your seat, we are in the series Renew Your Mind. Renew Your Mind, the second sermon of our series. But today we're going to talk about who's the captain of your soul. Who is the captain of your soul? Christians are not to be conformed to this world. My paraphrase definition of the word conformed is to fashion and configure ourselves like the world and to be squeezed into the world's mold. For the moment we are conceived, the world and the spiritual enemies of God are bombarding us with thoughts that run contrary to the word of God. They are in the business of keeping us from Jesus so that they can control us. If the world and the devil do not succeed in keeping us from Jesus Christ and we get saved, the real battle begins. We are not to continue to be conformed to this world. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. How does that happen? We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to change the way we think about everything. You see, it starts here. The Bible says that he wishes above all things that we be prosperous and in good health, even as our what? Soul prospers. That's your mind. He wants your mind to be renewed. He wants your mind, and the way your mind prospers is by the word of God. The way your mind prospers is to be lined up with the will of God. The way you think changes everything. As a man or woman thinketh, so is he or she. I used to wonder, Deacon Ozzie, I used to wonder when they said that a poor man's poverty is his destruction. I'm like, how in the world can the poverty be their destruction, Brother Tab? How can that be their destruction, their own poverty? That's how can poverty, because their mind continues to think about poverty and their mind continues to think about being broke. And as you think, so you are. So until you begin to renew your thinking, you're going to stay in the same place. It says, if the world and the devil do not deceive and keep us from Jesus Christ and we get saved, the real battle begins. We can't be the same. We got to be transformed. Transformed. The word transformed is translated from the Greek word metamorpho or metamorpho, and which is where we get the English word metamorphosis. In elementary school, we learned about metamorphosis by watching a caterpillar turn into a butterfly. We saw how the caterpillar would spin a cocoon, and it would go into a cocoon and come out a beautiful butterfly. It goes in completely in a different shape. It's a worm-like creature that crawls on the ground. And then when it goes in the cocoon, it comes out colorful and bright, and it flies gracefully through the air. How are we transformed? The same process of the metamorphosis, Romans 12:2 says, by the renewing of our minds. See, you used to have to crawl on the ground. You used to have to grope around and try to find blessings. But when you begin to come in right standing with God and transform your mind to renew yourself and align yourself with His thinking, then you can live, because you serve an abundant God. God is not in the business of just giving you a little blessing. He came to give you life and to give it to you what? More abundantly. how we transform. See, the word renew could also be translated renovate. When we renovate a house, we tear out and throw away all old, unwanted walls and decorations and replace them with brand new ones. Sometimes we put in new furniture and appliances we have never used before. That is the picture the Holy Spirit gives us when he tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He moves in and begins to renovate our soul with the word of God. He tears down strongholds of deception and lies and replaces them with the truth. See, take wisdom and knowledge, for example. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, there was no Georgia Southern. There was no Hampton University. There was no Harvard, no Yale, no Howard. There was no Museum of Natural History or Museum of Science and Industry. Adam and Eve received knowledge directly from the source of all knowledge, the Holy Spirit, inside of them. They walked and talked with Jesus, and they communed with their Heavenly Father. Educational institutions came after Adam's sin. Fallen human beings separated from God then received information from sources outside of them instead of the spirit of the word of God inside of them. They went from good life to living the high life and communicate with God with their spirit to the low life by living their physical, by their physical senses and natural thinking. The word of God became a mystery to them, a dead letter up to their soul shrouded with mystery. See, after our spirits are made alive and reconnected to our Heavenly Father at the new birth, God becomes our instructor again. The word of God becomes living, active in our lives. The Holy Spirit talks directly to our spirit, and we can get information and wisdom from him by our spirit. We can still go to school and gain information, but we now understand that the process of all that we learned by the word of God is from the Spirit of God. See, I went to school for you. God sent me to school not because he needed me to go to school to learn how to preach, because I was doing a whole bunch of things that they were teaching me in seminary that I was already doing. Now, I didn't have a name for it. Somebody took a book and wrote it down and told you how to do it, but I really didn't need anybody to teach me how to do what it is God had already naturally gifted me with. But the problem is you got to go to school for other people to know that you're educated, but you don't need that education to operate in your gifts. It's a lot of millionaires who ain't been to school at all. Now, I'm not knocking education because I'm a former educator, a principal, and you need to go to school to make sure you get a good job. But at the end of the day, you don't really need that school to make you who you are, because God has already given that knowledge in you. Before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. I'd already consecrated you to be a lawyer. I'd already made you to be a doctor. I'd already called you to be a scientist. I'd already created you to be whatever I created you to be. I already made you. All you need is God for your knowledge. You don't need all of this man-made stuff. After our spirits are renewed, look, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all inward parts of the belly. What is the purpose of a candle? It gives light, of course. See, your spirit is a lighthouse for the Lord. See, you receive revelation and knowledge and understanding from him. His light shines in your spirit and gives you purpose, meaning, and direction to your soul. His light brings health and well-being to your body. That's what happens. See, you know how you groping around in the middle of the night looking for something, you find your phone and you there's a flashlight, and now that it's illuminated, you can see. This is just how your soul is. You were walking in darkness, but when Jesus Christ came in you, you could see stuff more clearly. Now the things that other people thought you couldn't do and you thought you couldn't do yourself, you're able to do it now. Why? Because God showed you the truth. He showed you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He showed you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He shows you that you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lily and not the borer. He begins to show you how powerful you are, and then you are his light to other people. Because when they begin to see you walk in the power that you're walking in, God begins to use you as a witness and a light to bring witness to his power. God brings light and shines on you and wants you to be prosperous so he can show everybody else how they can be prosperous by submitting to him. See, Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Light is defined in this verse as understanding, and brings understanding is the word, and what brings understanding is the word of God. It comes in a light and lights the candle, your spirit. The word illuminates your spirit and brings revelation to your mind. The Holy Spirit, your teacher, gives you understanding about who you are, what you were created to do in life, and the divine guidance according to the choices, and make sure you make the right choices. See, the thing about it is, the Holy Spirit don't make no sense, Brother Jarrell, to us. God, but he tells us that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He say, don't lean on your own understanding, or you're going to fall because you don't think like me. When New Beast Grove called me to come here, I was taking a $30,000 pay cut, and that was just my regular job, not even counting my real estate. That's about at least $60,000, $70,000 I was going to be leaving. And how old school people tell you, Brother Woody, they say, I don't want to leave no money on the table. Huh? Oh, no, Sister Linda, no. I ain't want to leave no money on the table. They wanted me to come. You wanted me to come here and I lose $70,000? That didn't make no sense. Mama called me crazy. Pastors called me crazy. Everybody told me not to go. I followed absolutely no one's advice. Because I didn't even follow my own advice. I didn't want to go. And God said, look here. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Sister Roberts, he said, you cannot serve me and money. You cannot serve me and money. You cannot have two masters. If you're going to love me and hate money, or hate me or hate money and love me, what you going to do in this particular instant? Now, I don't ever think I ever really started hating money. But I did put God first. God said, you better put Gladys in reverse and catch that midnight train in reverse. You're going to leave Georgia now and do what it is I want you to do. And I'm tremendously blessed. Why? Because I did what my spirit told me to do and not what my mind told me to do. If I would have stayed at home, no one with common sense would have had, no one with, ooh, John gave me a revelation about this. God, nobody with common sense would have told me that I made the wrong decision. And that's why they're coming. You'll catch that when you go home. I don't want to be coming. I'm a king. Are you a king? Are you a queen? I don't want to be coming. I don't want to make common sense decisions. In fact, some of us, our common sense, even on our level, ain't good, so don't use yours. God wants you to make the right decisions so you can fulfill the destiny he has for you. And in the process, a whole lot of other people will get touched and blessed by him. But to make the right decision, you have to have a revelation and understanding, which you will not get unless you renew your mind to God's word. Can I tell y'all, most of y'all take a bath every day. Some of y'all hope you take a bath at least 5 times. What? You say, why? Because you don't want to stink. Some of y'all smell so good. You got on the scent of praise. You're smelling all good. Your body smells good. You look good. Your tie's together. Your heels are done. Your lace front is laid just right. Can't see it. Seamless. No tracks showing. It's all together. But the same way that you need to take a bath with your body, you got to take a bath with the word. Ephesians says you got to wash your spirit with the word of God. You know, some of y'all smell good in the natural, but you stink in the spirit. Woo, Jesus, your faith musty, girl. Huh? Your prayer life ashy. You're not keeping good spiritual hygiene. Dude, words you speak stink. You need a word mint. You speaking contrary to what God told you to do. I don't know where I'd be going with this stuff. Because the word of God is bathing your spirit. Who's controlling your soul is whoever you give the most attention to. Are you going to read the word and build up your spirit? Or are you going to look at stuff you're not supposed to look at and build up your flesh? You know you are triune just like God. You are spirit, body, and soul. Or spirit, body, and mind. And you have your spirit on one side, your flesh on the other side, and you stuck in the middle. Which one are you going to listen to? Who's controlling your soul? Because the devil is surely the one controlling your flesh, and God is the one commanding your spirit. Can I tell you a secret? Either you're making a decision because of God, or you're making a decision because of Satan. You're never making a decision on your own. You do know that, right? Let me keep going. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. It is where you make decisions. Therefore, your destiny and the quality of your life are determined by your soul. That's why the Bible stresses that you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must get your mind transformed by the word of God, which means it comes under the complete submission to the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Then you will begin to think, speak, and act like Jesus instead of that old selfish, sinful person you were before you got saved. You will act from your communication with God instead of your physical senses and carnal thinking. You will cease living the low life and live the good life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live the low life. If Jesus came to give me life and to give it to me abundantly, I don't want to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Yeah, I know I want to go and I want to see the new heaven, but I want some new shoes on this earth. Huh? I want to be a blessing. But see, anyway, your soul is where the battle is. Whoever controls your soul, whoever and whatever possesses your thinking, your emotions, your will, controls the outcome of your life. This is something the enemy knows, and the devil and his demons will do anything they can to get your mind on anything but the word of God. That's why I got to have a team around me that's ready for worship. Worship, we got to step up our game, because I shouldn't be the one running around here and put out all the fires. You should come in here already ready to worship, ready to put out a fire without coming to tell me anything. Why? Because you prayed up. Because the devil want to distract me more than anybody, because I'm the one supposed to be giving you the word. See, your life today is a result of the decision you have made in the past. God gave you free will, and he will guard and protect it. He has so much respect and regard for your free will that he will let you choose hell over him in your lifetime. The enemy also knows this, and he will try to influence your decisions by capturing your soul. The devil and his demons influence your decision through circumstances and your physical environment. They introduce thoughts to your mind and get you focused on what your five physical senses perceive. They will use people they can control to harm you or offend you. Some people have no idea they're being used by the enemy. They are either unbelievers or believers with unrenewed minds. They can think they're doing right, the right thing, but they deceive. You know, some people trying to kill you and think they're doing God's will. Some folks think that it's their job. Some people think they're doing the right thing. See, when we live low life under Satan, but we live the good life with Jesus. But the thing about it is, you got to understand, it ain't their fault. Stop cussing them out. They're going to still do it tomorrow, because it's not them. Jesus didn't say, "Get ye behind me, Peter, Sister Kim." He said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." And Peter was his boy, because he knew who was controlling Peter's thoughts at that moment. Don't worry about cussing and lay down in this cubicle. Pray to God and speak to those demons in them. You ain't got to say it out loud, but get there early and put some oil under her chair. The Holy Ghost in there. Get up there early at your job and put some oil on. Wait, everybody leave, put some oil over the doorpost and anoint your place and understand that it is not them, it's the devil, and he's just trying to distract you. He's trying to get your mind to think about those negative things because he knows as a man or woman thinking, so is he or she. And if you keep thinking about bad things happen. If you go to a restaurant expecting to get a bad waiter, you're going to get one. Because that's how powerful your mind is. And the devil knows that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he knows you're made in the image of God. And he knows whatever you think and whatever you speak will come to pass because you're a little God yourself, because Jesus Christ lives in you. And whatever you speak will come to pass. And so he trying to control your mouth and trying to control your thoughts because he knows whatever you think and whatever you say, it'll come. See, you know God said, I won't hold a record of your sin, but I will hold a record of what you say, because you don't know what you said and what destruction you made with your mouth, because your mouth is so powerful. You gotta learn how to control your thoughts and take them into captivity. See, unbelievers may not be aware of Satan's influence or even that they have the power of choice. As believers, however, we know from God's word that God will always give us the final decision. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Life is choice driven. And your soul is where the choice to live or die is made. You have a decision. Satan knows that whoever controls the soul of a person will control the experience and the destiny of that person. See, he went to the Garden of Eden to express purpose. He went to the garden with the express purpose of becoming the influence over mankind. Because God had given Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, the only way Satan could gain control over the earth was to gain control over Adam and Eve. You realize that, right? See, when Adam turned from God's influence to Satan's influence, he sinned. And when Adam failed, the entire human race failed. It is a lie from the devil that your sin only affects you. Your sin always affects the lives of everyone around you. Just like Adam's sin affected us all, if Satan can get just one person to do what he wants them to do, he can cause a whole lot of hurt in the world. Satan knows he doesn't have authority. He who has not entered through the gate has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. The gate that the word is talking about is the womb of a woman. If you're not born here in this dimension, in this time and space, you have no legal authority. Satan was cast out of heaven and cast down here. He has no legal authority over you. You have dominion because you were born of a woman. That's why Jesus was born of a woman, to have legal authority here. So how in the world do you let Satan keep you broke? How do you let Satan keep you sick? How do you let Satan keep you unemployed? How do you let Satan keep you from being blessed? You have dominion over this world. You got the first Adam failed, but the second Adam came to restore to you what you lost in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He came to restore it. You have power. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you let the devil take your blessings. Don't you let the devil steal from you. You better stop listening to Flip Wilson. The devil can't make you do nothing. You have dominion and power and legal authority. It's one thing to have some authority in your mind, but it's another thing to have legal authority. Legal authority. He was cast down. He don't have no power. That's why in Revelations it alludes to the fact that the Antichrist is going to be born of a woman, because he wants a body so he can have a legal authority. But he has no legal authority because he was cast down. You want to tell you what really God did? You know how somebody getting on your nerve? Remember back in the day when you used to be gangster, kind of. Maybe you weren't killing nobody, but you know, Brother Rodriguez, you know how some people walk up on you, and you know, you like, man, I ain't got time for you, man. Hey, you can go talk to your little brother. Hey, man, handle my lightweight, man. I ain't gonna fight this little boy. I don't want to hurt you. Hand him a light. Take my lightweight, man. Hey, look, man. If I come and hit you, you surely gonna die. So, God, Jesus said he looked over, and Satan was falling from heaven like lightning. God can kill Satan whenever he wants to, but God, in his demented humor, told Satan, "You know what? Go fight my lightweight. Go fight my men and women. I'm going to give them dominion over the earth, and you can't destroy them. They lesser than me, but I'm going to make them more powerful than them. But the only way you can walk in this power that I'm talking about is to align yourself up with the Spirit of God so you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." Now, don't get me wrong. Satan is stronger than you in your natural mind. Don't you go run up on Satan with your little butcher knife and your little worldly mind. You need to go with your spiritual weapons and your spiritual power. Anyway, I'm getting into my next sermon. Let me look at what I wrote down. When Adam turned to God, turned from God's influence to Satan's influence, he sinned. And when Adam failed, the entire human race failed. The whole race. When you fall, you making other people fall. See, well, look it. On the other hand, if God has influence in your life, he can do a whole lot of good in the world. As believers, we need to keep our souls full of God and his word. Then we will make right choices and have a godly impact on the world around us. Whoever we trust with our lives is the one who will possess our soul. And whoever has our soul is going to influence our decisions and our destiny. We want God to completely possess our soul so that his good, acceptable, and perfect will can be proven in our lives. And when people around us see all the love, peace, joy, and success we have, they will want to know Jesus and begin living the good life too. See, you know why people don't come to church? Because it's too many broke Christians. It's too many defeated Christians. Come on now. Why in the world? I'm going to mess with my dude. Brother Perez, why is there so many New England fans? Because even though they cheat, they win. No, I'm slaying. I'm just messing with you. Why is so many Cowboy fans? Well, they ain't winning now, but they done won before. And people jump on bandwagons. And the reason why God wants you to be illuminated and you his light, the reason why he shines his light on your spirit and make sure your soul shines, is because he wants to bring glory to himself through you, because he made the rule. And he said, if you're not born of a woman, you don't have authority here. So I'm going to use you as my chosen vessel to make sure that people walk in the authority and power that I want them to walk in. When we start winning like we're supposed to, more people will come to church. Nobody want to go for a losing team. I've got to go for the Falcons. I'm from Atlanta. Ain't no bandwagon Falcon fans. We losers. Sorry, ATL. We are. We losers. When I went to Tennessee, and I saw people, I said, man, I know you from Atlanta. He was like, why you say that? Because you got on a Falcons hat. He was like, yeah. I'm like, what's up, ATL? Because ain't no fair weather. Ain't no fake Falcon fans out there. This is what I'm saying. God says that his spirit illuminates your spirit so that you can be his candle. So that people can see. First of all, he illuminates your spirit so you can see. But he also illuminates you so people can see him through you. And the reason why God wants you to win is so people can see him through your victory. The reason why God allows you to go through some stuff is so when you win, people can see who you are. Come on, somebody. The reason why he raised up Goliath is because he wanted to show people who David was. And stop letting your past dictate your future. You a new creature. Saul was killing everybody. Was so crazy they changed his name to Paul. Was killing so many people. But then he understood that, you know what? I'm a new creature now. So he would sit up there and tell everybody else what they needed to do to get their life right, because he said, I'm a new creature. God ain't holding this against me, and you shouldn't either. Even if you do, I don't care. You got to get to the point and say, yeah, I know I did some crazy stuff in my past, but I'm walking the way Jesus wants me to walk now. I still may fall every now and then, but God wants to use me. I'm the illumination for him. He shines his light on me to make sure you could see me. The reason why God wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not the knee, the lender and not the borrower. The reason why he wants you to be blessed in the valley and blessed in the field. The reason why he wants you to be blessed in your going and blessed in your coming is because you are the light of him. You represent him. Why you want your boot to look good? Why you get the crust out of his eyes? Why you make sure his shoes match? Why you make sure his pocket square together? Because he represents you. Why in the world you want to go shopping and make sure? You might not want to go shopping. You might go sit down somewhere and let her walk around. But at the end of the day, why you give her what it is she wants? Because you want her to look good, because she represents you. Why you want your kids to do good? Because they represent you. God wants you to do good because you are the light. You are the illumination. You are the representative of him. You are his ambassador. He wants you to be blessed because you represent him. And he wants to magnify your voice. Remember Ross Perot? Yeah. And some of y'all didn't vote until Obama started running, but Ross Perot was an old country white man. And Ross Perot made money, I don't know, with Purdue chicken or something. I don't know what he had. Yeah. Computers. Whatever. Well, he had a whole bunch of money. He ain't sound like he owned computers. Sounded real ignorant sometimes. But the only reason people listen to him, because he had money. If he was broke, he wouldn't have been on the news. Didn't make no sense at all. But because he was blessed, people would listen to him even though he didn't make sense. God wants you to be blessed because it magnifies your voice. I need you to know that God don't want you to be blessed for yourself. He wants to bless you because you represent him. And people are more ready to listen to you when you bless. I know it sounds mean, but it's real. Go to Solomon. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, money answers all things. Sometimes people don't listen to you because you ain't got nothing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you this number. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to tell y'all what I need y'all to do in a minute. This sermon is a little different than 8 o'clock. But look, this is what I need to tell you. When I was selling houses, I was making a lot of money. But my mama kept wanting me to buy another car to get Neil my old car. And I'm like, I don't want to spend no money on no car. But it's your mama. And she kept asking me. So I bought another car. I bought a Lexus. Gave Neil my car. And, did that stuff. After I started driving that, and I know it's shallow, it's very shallow, but this is what happened. More people say, man, you must be doing real good real estate. I wonder how other people started coming to want houses. Because they said, I know you know what you're talking about because you're blessed. I was already blessed. I was just stingy. I ain't want to buy no car. I ain't want no car, no. I was doing just fine with my Camry. It didn't break down. I'm doing good. It ain't ugly. It ain't luxury, but it's all right with me. But the minute I started walking in it, other people started just asking me at the school, I want a house, I want a house, I want a house. And my business began to double. Why? Because people understood that I was blessed. The reason why God wants the blessings on you, and the reason why he wants you to have blessing upon blessing upon blessing, once you begin to look like you blessed and people know you blessed, they begin to more readily listen to what you have to say. Stop getting mad because these pastors and preachers getting paid. Stop getting mad because you don't never know what they do. I make a lot of money on the side doing my real estate at home, even though I just not started right here. You don't know what God is doing. God want to magnify your voice. God don't want you broke. God wants you paid. God wants you to walk in abundance. But God wants you to renew your mind and understand that until you get with him, he can't give it to you though. See, if I would have chased the money instead of coming to New Beach Grove, I wouldn't still have the blessing on my life. because my mind is renewed and I put God before money, I don't have to chase money. Money gonna chase me. Why? Because I thoroughly believe that if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's going to add all these things unto me. I truly believe that he will not withhold any good and perfect gift from me. And you need to believe the same thing. You need to start saying, I'm blessed in the valley, I'm blessed in the field. You need to start saying, I'm the lender and not the borrower. You need to start saying, I'm the head and not the tail. You need to say, I'm going to have a good measure of blessing pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You need to start saying, I'm going to have blessing upon blessing. You need to say that I know God with you over all things, that I'm prosperous and in good health. You got to start speaking the abundant life over your life. You need to start renewing your mind. I'm tired of this broke, busted mentality of the church. I need you to walk in your abundance. I need to renew your mind, but I don't need you to chase the money. I need you to chase your purpose. I need you to chase God. I need you to renew your mind in the word and seek ye first the kingdom of God so it can add on your house, so it can add on your car, so it can add on your wife, so it can add on your husband, so it can add on your job, so it can add on your money, so it can add on your prosperity, so it can add on your wealth. But you got to renew your mind and expect God to do it. I was walking around here getting upset today because I saw people not taking worship seriously. This ain't no game. I know I joke, but I'm still serious when I'm preaching. You got to come in here knowing that God is here for you to hear a word and you renew your mind. It ain't for you to be playing. It ain't for you to be playing with your phone. When I'm on my phone, I'm running worship. I ain't having no casual conversation. When you come in here, you need to understand this the locker room. And I'm getting you ready for what you're going out to. When you come here on Sunday morning, I want you to come here ready, expecting a breakthrough. Stop coming here thinking you're going to leave the same way. You straining me. You pulling on me too much because you come in here with a little bit of faith. I need you to come here with faith ready. I need you to come in here expecting a blessing. I need you to come here expecting a breakthrough. I know some unsaved folk gonna be mad. Oh, your pastor fussing at you. How you go to that church? I fuss at you because I love you and I want you to walk in your blessing. I'm tired of this. But you got to come here expecting something. But you got to come in here seeking God first. This is what I need you to do throughout the week. I need you to walk. When you go, I need you to start thinking to yourself, who controlling me right now? When you're doing, especially if you start to do something wrong, who controlling me right now? Who controlling this decision? Is it God controlling my decision or is it the devil? Who causing me to do this right now? And you know what happened? When you start doing that, you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to start convicting you and showing you the ungodly thoughts you have and the stuff you're doing wrong. And he's going to show you what to do right. But you got to begin to open yourself up and ask yourself, who controlling me right now? Your thoughts ain't your thoughts. Hey, just sit down and be still. Sit down and be still. Sit down. You ain't preaching. Sit down. Need nothing right now? Just be still. If you don't need nothing, just be still. Jesus. Gotta be seen. Y'all learn how to be in the background. You ain't gotta be seen all the time. Sorry for that, but I'm just saying. This is what you need to understand. Y'all, please edit that out for the broadcast. But what I need you to know is this. You need to begin to think who's moving you. Even in small stuff like that, there ain't nothing but the devil trying to distract me. Stop letting the devil use you even in small things. Learn how to sit there and be focused and hear the word of God. Your neighbor tapping you and laughing about something that ain't got nothing to do with the sermon. That's the devil using him so you can miss the word I'm saying. Can I hear you? There's a new level. And sorry, man, sorry for getting on you. But there's a new level that God taking me to. And y'all, I'm gonna be different. Certain things I can take, I can't take them no more. But that's the only way I can get you to the next level. What I realize, preachers and ministers, what you need to understand this is, one day, if you're pastoring, you need to understand this, you need to understand this, you need to understand this. The easiest person to lift up is yourself. You feel me? I can't, it's when Magneto began to lift himself up, he can lift himself up easy, but when he's trying to lift a building up, it's harder. The easiest person to lift up is yourself. That's why the plain people tell you, and I listened to it this time, they were storming. They sure never, I know I said it before, but I'm saying it with conviction right now. Put the oxygen on your face first. I'm like, hey, bro, I'm putting it on my face first. I help you out after I save myself. I said it to a minute, too. Like, hold on, it was raining hard. It was storming, the plane was shaking. I filmed the rain. I mean, it was crazy. But what he said was, save yourself first. You got to renew your mind first. Then you can help renew other people's minds. You got to renew your mind first. Put the Holy Spirit on you first. Fill yourself up first. Then you can pray for your children. Fill yourself up first. Then you can pray for your wife. Fill yourself up first. Then you can pray for your husband. Fill yourself up first. Then you can pray for your church. The reason why God wanted to give you overflowing blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it's because he never meant for you to have to always give out of your need. He wants you to give out of your overflow. But some of us never walk in the overflow because we don't renew our mind enough. We so busy praying for everybody around us, which is good, but you got to learn how to pray for yourself. This series is about renewing your own mind. If somebody gets about the sermon, buy them a CD. Or tell them to go buy it themselves. Because right now, what we're working on right now, is our mind. Because can I tell you, the only person that can stop you is you. The only thing can stop you. Do you know why they kept walking around the walking around trying to get to the promised land? Because their mindset. You could see the promised land. They wandered for 400 years looking at where it was. They had just sent two spies out. Come on now, if you send a spy out, Brother Chris, you ain't sending them 300 miles away. You send them right down the street. Hey, man, they still over there. They came back, and it still took them hundreds of more years to get to the promised land. And it's right there. Some of you all, your blessing right here. But because your mindset is still defeated, you can't see it. Your idea is right there. But because of your mindset, you keep speaking yourself out of it. Speak those things that be not as though they were, and know that it'll come to pass. Know that it'll come to pass. Know it. Is there one right now? Again, I apologize for going off on y'all a little bit, but it was in love. I need you to understand this. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Because if you don't accept him, you can't hear what I'm saying. You don't have the keys to the kingdom when you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that says, I need a church home. I need somewhere where I can be covered in the name of Jesus. Is there one? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. Is there one? Hallelujah. Is there one? Is there one that says, me, oh Lord, just staying in the need of prayer? Oh God. Is there one? Hallelujah. You may be seated in the